103.9 WABT. Real rock and roll.
We are back live from Seattle on Rockline tonight, and a quick reminder that everyone who gets on the air tonight with Soundgarden will receive a CD copy of Super Unknown, courtesy of A&M Records. We head back to the phones now. Blackburn, Virginia is our next stop, Rock 105 in Christiansburg. Christiansburg, I guess that is our station. Anna, you're on with Soundgarden.
Hi. Is there anything that you guys have never been asked that you'd like to get off your chest?
Pardon me?
Is there anything that you've never been asked that you'd like to get off your chest?
God, you know, considering how many interviews we've done in the last few years, I think we've probably been asked just about everything.
Pretty much it's all been covered.
But honestly, that's a really good question, though, and I appreciate it.
All right, Anna, thanks. But apparently it's all been covered in one way or another. Tim is in Bayside, New York, listening to 92.3 K-Rock in New York City this evening. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Yeah, Ben, this question is for Ben. Ben, are you going to do any more stuff with Hader?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's hard to organize all that stuff.
But nothing...
I'm too lazy to organize things like that.
Nothing that's actually in the works or being thought about or recorded or anything like that.
Yeah, we did another session, but I'm too self-conscious about it. I hope it doesn't come out.
There's a vote of confidence for you. All right, Tim. Hopefully it will. We'll look forward to that. Christian is in Sterling Heights, Michigan this evening listening to The Riff in Detroit. Hi, Christian.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering what your opinion is of the new bands that are out there nowadays and what you would like to see more of.
I think What would be good to see more of is probably like a more diversity, you know, across the boards, from without there really having to be movements or scenes, you know, like the way Seattle was to us 8 years ago. It was very diverse. It wasn't what people think it was in terms of it being a city where everybody just plays like loud guitar riff based music. It was a very diverse scene. It was very experimental. A lot of different bands did a lot of different things, and you know, it'd be great to see that happen on a level where all of these diversities get kind of the same amount of exposure and the same amount of effort and time paid to them by the media, you know, and by fans, you know. Just a much larger diversity. Seems like things are sort of packaged nowadays in groups, and if one band does really well musically and, you know, does really well success-wise, sells a lot of records doing something, then any other band that comes along that sounds remotely similar or is doing something that stylistically might be similar gets a lot of airtime and gets a lot of ink and gets a lot of attention. And to me, it should almost be the other way. You know, if a band is successful doing something, you know, you should go somewhere and look somewhere else, look for something else.
Is it still possible up here for new bands to be able to? I mean, is that creative environment still existing up here, or that ability to come out and try something new and not be sort of boxed in kind of thing?
I think that can exist anywhere you want to make it. You know, we didn't have the best environment for it when we started out. There wasn't really clubs to go to. There was like two bars that were 21 and over. Clubs. There was no place for us to play to our real fans, which most of which, you know, were under 21. But you can do anything you want anywhere you choose to do it. The problem with Seattle is that seems to be a lot of musicians from all over the world coming here to kind of try and do what they feel is sort of Seattle music.
All right, Christian, thanks for the call. We're going to go to St. John's, Newfoundland right now. Oz FM is our station there. And Dave, you're on Rockline.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Hi.
I was just wondering what you guys thought of critics categorizing your music, the music that you're playing now.
I don't like it when critics satirize our music. We take it very seriously.
I think it's kind of funny when they try and categorize our music, because it when you take Super Unknown, a 70-minute record, or however many minutes it was. Pretty long record, right,
guys? 72, right.
Yeah, 72. Anyway, yeah, pretty long. As much as you can fit on a CD. And with the diversity that was on that record, it's kind of interesting. It's like watching critics try and jump through hoops to try and explain to somebody just exactly where it is we are coming from, particularly without them knowing us. It's kind of funny.
And yet, really, from a critic standpoint, this band has almost always been favorably received critically.
What do you mean, true. Almost?
let me rephrase that. They've always been favorably.
Yeah, I missed something.
Those are the ones that met us. I mean, ultimately, yeah. They meet us and we get slammed.
Yeah. All right, Dave, thanks for the call. Once again, from Super Unknown on Rockline, Soundgarden, Fell on Black Days. From Soundgarden, Steve Downs here with Soundgarden live in Seattle tonight. We're going to go back to New York, 92.3 K-Rock, and Robin. Hi, Robin.
Hey. I just wanted to know, this song, Fell on Black Days, happens to be the biggest influence on me right now. I want to know what the first two lines, whatsoever I feared has come to life, whatsoever I fought off became my life. Where did you get that, and what does it mean to you?
Well, I guess to me, it's kind of self-explanatory, really. I mean, but it's not literal. It's not it's just sort of, you know, the way you might feel some days if you're in a really down mood, or a negative mood. You might think that. I tend to occasionally feel like everything, you know, try to avoid or hide or cover up or hope doesn't exist. Kind of actually is more real than what you kind of hope is reality, which is generally a facade. Got that?
Does that explain it, Robin? All right. Thanks for the call. We're going to go to Prescott, Arizona. DC is on the line.
All right. Hey, DC.
DC.
Yeah.
Hey.
I have a question for Chris.
Oh, yeah? What might that be?
Well, I mean, now that you're like a huge star and, you know, triple platinum and all that, are you guys into anything weird like, you know, buying monkeys or, you know, having a petting zoo or anything?
Well, you know, I actually...
If you can impersonate Droopy, we'll answer that.
Ask the same question doing Droopy, please.
Bill Peabody here.
DC is your manager, is that right?
Tour manager.
Yeah, but we're not on tour, so I don't know what the hell he's doing on the phone. Don't you have like a job now? Who are you representing
now? Working with the Cult?
Yeah, I'm working for the Cult, and you know what? Lobby calls in 15 minutes, and you guys have some Ecuadorian phoners you need to do.
They'll get right on that, DC.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
hey, how come you're asking that monkey question? Does that have anything to do with maybe something you've done in the past for employment?
You know what, it could, and you know, I'm always trying to perfect my zookeeping skills, and I figured that now you're at that stage in your career where, you know, a monkey would, you know, make perfect sense.
You see, he's into this because he's looking for job security because he used to have to take care of Michael Jackson's monkey Bubbles. He used to have to change his diapers and take him out and
provide Bubbles with log for men.
Yeah.
Well, I used to take Bubbles to the strip clubs. Let's get it straight.
Well, that could be a full-time job in itself.
He's having trouble getting other employment with that kind of experience, though, because not that many other bands are into that kind of thing.
No, that's true.
They don't want to work with tour managers who have a monkey in their band.
Yeah, it's a limited field, yeah. DC.
I'm trying to expand it.
Thanks for the call. How's things in Prescott?
Oh, pretty damn boring.
Well, there you go.
If it wasn't for my gun, I don't know what I'd do.
Oh, yes. There you go. All right, thanks for the call,
all right,
DC.
See ya. Take care.
Bye.
We're going to go down to Houston now, 101 KLOL. Simon is down there. Hey, Simon.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
Is this Soundgarden?
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
All right,
good.
I was wondering, like, how y'all felt about, like, when Guns N' Roses put Bing Dumb Sex on the Spaghetti Incident. Like, how'd that make you feel? Like, I guess you knew about it, but, like, are they, like, you know, do you look up to them, or they look up to you, or?
I don't know, I guess, you know, it was kind of, to me, it felt kind of cool, I guess, in a sense, because the whole record was them sort of paying homage to influences, so I don't know if that was, you know, that song it was an influence or not, but, then on the other hand, I was kind of scared because we were by far the youngest band on that record, and you kind of think, wow, Guns N' Roses like paying homage to these dinosaur bands, and they do one of our songs. Thanks a lot, guys. Right. Throw another shovel on my head.
Thanks, Simon, for the call. Speaking of paying homage, I don't know if that really applies to this next song we're going to play, but this is one of the few cover tunes that you guys have ever done, which is Come Together from the Beatles. What drew you to that song in particular? If you were going to do a cover, why that one? Any particular reason?
I don't know. I think our style lent itself to that song somehow. Because most of the time when we do a cover song, we try and kind of do a Soundgarden version. So we'll pick a song that will do that. You know, that will lend itself to what we do and kind of what we are. And this song kind of did that pretty well.
Goes like this. You'll find this on the B-side, by the way, of the single Hands All Over. Soundgarden on Rockline and Come Together. Come Together from Soundgarden. And we will have more with Chris, Kim, and Ben, and more of your phone calls coming up on the Global Satellite Network.